Join us in a world where you're listening to Ballistic Radio. Sit back as we discuss hard-won lessons from the best and brightest that the personal defense and competition shooting industry has to offer. Let us help you help yourself, no matter where you are in your personal path. Ballistic Radio, brought to you by LuckyGunner.com and Federal Premium Ammunition. They paid for this, so you don't have to. Now here's your host, John Johnston.
Welcome to Ballistic Radio, brought to you by LuckyGunner.com and Federal Premium Ammunition. They paid for this, so you don't have to. Isn't that nice of them? I'm your host, John Johnston. Remember, you can always listen to past shows at BallisticRadio.com. Get the latest behind-the-scenes info, arguments, photos, videos, pictures of me without my shirt on. At Facebook.com/BallisticRadio. Hey, Joe.
How's it going, John?
It's going. I feel like we were just here, but it's been a minute.
Yeah, with the magic of radio, it's been a couple of weeks, actually.
It's been a busy couple of weeks, too.
It has been. You're all over the place.
I am. You know, home, what's that? But hey, you know what's way more interesting than...
What is way more interesting than that?
Than my destroyed home life. This segment's brought to you by Lucky Gunner and Federal Premium Ammunition. Whether there was a firefight or you do, in fact, want to worry about that little guy, I really need to work on that impression. You need more ammo. And when it's time to restock, you can't beat Federal Premium Ammunition and LuckyGunner.com. With a shipping department that's always moving at 88 miles per hour, if I order a case of American Eagle from Lucky Gunner on a Thursday, it's at my doorstep, ready to shoot before the weekend starts. Head to LuckyGunner.com today to check out their in-stock lineup of Federal Premium Ammunition. And remember, unless you're on fire or drowning, or perhaps you have made the greatest sin ever, greatest tactical blunder in history, right next to starting a land war in Asia and going against a Sicilian when death's on the line, you've skipped leg day. You can never really have too much ammo. I'm just going to get Chase on the phone because, yeah. Hey, Chase.
What's going on, fellas?
I'm making really bad jokes. So, otherwise, not much. What are you up to?
Man, splashing water on my face and waking up.
Yeah, it's super early there, and I appreciate you joining us today. But for those that don't know, man.
Always a pleasure, brother. Always a pleasure.
I appreciate that. For those that don't know, aside from being Will's mom's paramour, what are you and who do you do? Wait, who are you and what do you do?
Well, I mean, I'm Chase Jenkins. What I do, I am now officially Will's cohort, and I think the maybe the only full-time, non-family member employee of Centrifuge Training. We made that official this year, probably something we should have did a couple years ago, but we kind of always joked about.
Mm-hmm.
So we made that official this year. We were doing a lot of stuff together, so it just kind of made sense on the business side of things.
Right.
You know, some ideas and plans that we had going, so it's worked out real well. It's, I think it's, so far doing exactly what we wanted to do, you know, just more business, one brand, and kind of helped us both out on the busy side of things, I guess, just on the scheduling side of things.
Right.
But it has been a busy, first two quarters of the year. So we're kind of still proud of that. We're kicking around some new stuff as well. You know, it's gave us some time to put our mind together on some coursework, and you know, hopefully some of those things will be ready to bring online in the next 6 months or so.
Well, so it's really good to see you guys like making it official, because I was kind of wondering, you know, and now that it's official, everybody knows that. I mean, realistically, you guys just are in love with each other, and I think it's great that y'all could do that.
One of these days, it'll be a classic romance novel. Yeah?
Man, I kind of want to. I'm not going to tell the story about that condo. I want to tell the story about that condo super bad, though.
I really needed that password, John.
The password's not the funny part of that to me. The funny part is, well, hey, I got a queen size bed. I mean, no, but anyway, that's all we need to talk about as far as that goes. People are going to be like, what are they doing? Living our best lives. That's it. So
we were, weren't we?
Yeah, still are. I hope. But what I kind of like to talk to you about, you're doing. You're doing all sorts of stuff with Centrifuge. You also work for a sheriff's department, right?
Yeah, man. So a couple of years ago, the Tuscaloosa County Sheriff's Department here at home, it's a pretty big agency here, second biggest county in the state. They've got a real progressive department. By today's standards, it's a good department. They're one of the few places around that doesn't have a shortage. Mm-hmm. You know, right now they have a good command staff, a good department, but man, they've got a real nice training facility there. I'd ran a few classes there, really liked the place. So, I'd known one of the chief deputies for a long time. We started talking one day about, he wanted to make the training center like a go-to place in this region for law enforcement training. He thought that I had something to offer them on that side. They had something to offer me as far as I want to keep my LE credentials current. So we just kind of got together, and I'm now a part-time deputy there, and my main function is to help them run courses and kind of structure the training center and help them get it online where they want it to be. So kind of worked out. We've been doing that man, I guess that's a year and a half now, and it's growing like anything else that you start growing like that and pushing out. It's got some growing pains, so we're working through some of those things. But man, it's a very impressive property. In that it's got three ranges, so we can accomplish just about anything we want there, as far as you know, mechanics classes, manipulations classes. We can go out to 200 yards. We also have live fire shoot house. We have a school house size seminitions building that we can run seminitions in. But the I think the thing for the students is it has on-site lodging. So we can sleep up to 25. It's a it'll sustain living there, so we can sleep 25. We have full kitchen and dining facilities, man, washer, dryer, showers. They just expanded the gym, so I've seen commercial gyms that's not as big as this one. They're fixing up a CrossFit section there. Actually putting in an axe throwing, two axe throwing lanes, so we have a little bit of stuff to do on the side during downtime, which Lloyd said, hey, do you think it's a good idea? And I was like, man, I think it's a horrible idea, but I think we should do it anyway.
Right.
But man, it's just you know, it's a place like I've never really seen before. The kicker is Sheriff Abernathy, when we first started talking, he said some things to me I'd never heard an administrator say, with the opportunities that place had to make money for the SO. He was like, I want everything to be totally free for the cops. And so in explaining that to me, he was like, listen, I know there's cops out there that have to pay for training out of pocket. They can't afford it. He said, I also know that there's departments out there that really want their guys to get some training, but they just can't afford it. So I want it to be free. The classes are going to be free. The lodging will be free for anything we do, because we do host some classes there. But the lodging is always free. So that helps a lot, I think, on the administrative side, where I used to be. It is one of those deals where it's like, hey, I'm a little bit more comfortable knowing that my guys are on site somewhere, that they don't have to leave. I just don't have to worry about anything happening to them. I don't have to worry about them having a wreck. I don't have to worry about them, you know, being out on the town, in the city. Everything is right there. All I have to do is provide them their ammo and their time, and the class and the, you know, the lodging is free. So You know, those guys, I give them some kudos. A command staff like that that's not only worried about their people, but, you know, everybody else's people as well. It was kind of refreshing from what I was used to in my career. So I am happy to be there. Hope that we can help them out any way that we can. And it's kind of, man, it's, you know, it's a challenge, John. And I like to see things grow. And it's coming right along, just kind of like we have planned. So just proud to be attached to that and involved in it. So hopefully one of these days I can look back and say, yeah, man, I was, you know, I had a hand in that, or I had, you know, I helped those guys kind of get that place on the map. So still looking forward to that. Of course, that makes everything busier. I just got back from down there. It was the last class I had on a pretty long run. And it was one of those things that sounded like a good idea at the time. You know, when you're looking at your schedule and you're like, yeah, I can do that.
Uh-huh.
And and then about midway through it, you're like, this was a horrible idea.
Yeah. I'll talk about that in a second. We actually got to go to break. We're talking with Chase Jenkins from Centrifuge Training. You're listening to Ballistic Radio. Welcome back to Ballistic Radio, brought to you by LuckyGunner.com and Federal Premium Ammunition. They paid for this, so you don't have to. This segment brought to you by Wilson Combat. Wilson Combat, makers of the finest custom 1911s and scatterguns since 1977. A legacy of quality, innovation, and service. Learn more about their firearms and accessories, as well as the EDC X9L, which offers discriminating shooters 1911 match-grade accuracy, superior ergonomics, and concealability. With modern service pistol capacity, they got it in 15 or 18-round flavors, and reliability at www.wilsoncombat.com. So we're talking with Chase Jenkins about the things that we do to ourselves inside of this line of work, like really, really poor scheduling decisions. But I kind of want to hit on that real quick, and then I want to talk about that sheriff's office a little bit more, because it sort of sparked what I think will be an interesting conversation. But do you think people that are wanting to get into instructing really understand some of the stuff that goes along with that, as far as the, oh, I'm going to be away from home for a week or 2 weeks at a time, and I'm going to have to go from one side of the country to the other, and, you know, give the same product or the same quality product, even though I'm tired and maybe thrown up behind a building, or, you know, texting my buddies. Oh, what I do. You know what I mean?
Yep. And yeah, and it's good to have a support crew like that, right?
Yeah.
Every now and then somebody's got to tell you, hey, man, go, you know, pull your panties up and put your boots on and let's go get your show on the road. Yeah, man, it's I think we look at anything, right? I mean, you look at, you know, hey, I'd like to play pro sports, or hey, I'd like to be a rock star or something like that. You see the part of it that you want to see, right? That's appealing to you. Everything has an aspect to it that, in my opinion, actually makes it a job.
Right.
So, you know, I think I'm like any other person that has a passion for this particular job that we're doing, the teaching aspect. You know, I like being on the range with good folks. I like, you know, helping them grow in their profession, on the range, off the range. So, I mean, you know, that's the fun aspect to it, but that's a very small part of it. If you look at all the logistics that go into pulling something like that off, I don't think people understand or look at, you know, hey, if we're running a, just take, for instance, if you're running a 3-day course, John, there's probably, you know, 2-3 weeks worth of work that's went into that, making sure everything's ready to go. If you got a good host on it, it helps a lot. You know, some of these people have never hosted a course or don't have any idea of the minutia that makes that course go.
Right.
So you spend a lot of time making sure that's ready. You know, you get there early. You may spend you know, an entire afternoon or night on the range. Once you get there, getting everything set up, get there early in the morning, make sure it's set up, stay late, making sure the next day is ready to go. You know, just helping people acquire things that they're going to need for that class. A lot of it's last minute stuff, you know, where you're scrambling around with your other industry partners. You know, hey, we got some guys that don't have this. Can you get it to us, you know, by tomorrow or by the next day?
Mm-hmm.
Having people on the side that can help you, you know, scramble those things while you're actually on the range. And then just the travel part of it, you know, is a tiring thing. I don't think anybody really likes the driving part or the air travel part. Those are necessary evils that you just can't get around. It would be nice to be able to drive just an hour to every class that you have, bring the extra things that you may need to, you know, that you see that you need from one class to the other. But for us, the airline travel is just something we can't get away from. You know, we have to do that. You know, you got a class in California the next couple of days, and then, you know, 2 days later, you've got a class in North Carolina. There's the driving's an impossibility. So,
yeah,
all of that stuff is tiring. The actual being on the range is the fun part, the good times. But the other side of it is something that's, I just don't think there's much way you can make that fun. It's just, it's business. And that's probably the part of it that actually turns it into a job,
mm-hmm.
or at least it is for me.
Well, and yeah, there's, man, there's a lot to think about, and there's a lot of stuff that, you know, hell, you and I have sat in Thomas Carlson's driveway building target stands and the day before class, you know.
Yeah.
So stuff like that. But so as far as the sheriff's office goes, it seems to me, and this is you know, so this is an outsider perspective, so I'm not saying it's I'm not speaking from a position of authority when I say this. I'm asking a question, but it seems to me very rare to have an agency that is proactive in their training that way. And as, like Greg Elifritz has pointed out before, a lot of police training has nothing to do with officer safety or survivability and everything to do with removing liability from the agency. So I guess if you want to talk about that and sort of compare that to what you got going on there, which sounds like the exact opposite of that. What are your thoughts?
Well, exactly. I mean, and the department has to do, I mean, maybe I look at it a little bit different. The department's got a lot of liability that it has to make sure it has covered. Of course, the bigger the department, the more responsibility there is there to make sure all of that stuff is covered. When you look at, especially in today's, law enforcement world, the big hurdle that everybody's having to overcome is being significantly short-staffed, mm-hmm. more so than ever. That makes a lot of things that we need to be doing an impossibility. We have, it's not uncommon for us to be working with some departments that want to contract a class, request an odd hour type training so guys can actually work a shift to half a shift and still make the training. That was one thing that we had to start looking at about 2 years ago that made some things difficult for us. I think the department in a certain lane, it's like I understand what they have to do, and I accept that, and I think everybody should. The qualification is something that's got to be done. Some of the other training, you know, the mentally ill aspect that we're having to deal with, stuff like that. I mean, that has to be done, and we look at it as like, man, I don't want to do this. There's other things that we need to be doing. I think that once you get past that initial qualification, that initial certification on stuff that the department's responsible for giving you, I always look at it as it's my personal responsibility to go beyond that. Now, it is difficult to do. You know, the first hurdle that a guy has to overcome is the financial aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing that he's got to overcome is the time aspect of it. Most guys I know, they're working something beyond their what they're required to do. So they're working extra shifts on a regular basis. They have an off-duty job on a regular basis. You've got the family aspect that you've got to balance in there too. You know, nowadays most guys, you know, their significant other is having to work as well, so they're having to balance the schedule at home too. Hey, I've got to help get the kids, you know, to school, back from school, to their extracurricular activities. All of that stuff factors in and makes it a very difficult, you know, process for the guy. But I still think that that is your responsibility. I never looked at it as, hey, it's the department's responsibility to make sure that I actually have the firearms training versus the qualification, or hey, I, you know, the defensive tactics aspect beyond what they give me to reduce their liability. That's all they're required to do. And when you look at the time, they don't have much time other than that to make sure that you get anything else. So I think, you know, it's like anybody else, man, we get into that aspect of, hey, I want them to give me versus I need to go get it. So the easier you can make that for guys to accomplish, I think, you know, is maybe what we should strive to do. All I can really ask the department to do is, hey, give these guys the time to get there. If they're willing to go the extra mile, then as an administrator, you should be willing to assist them in doing that. So with that being said, you've got to give them options, you know, and I think that's what Sheriff Abernathy and some of the command staff have done is, hey, we can't do everything for you, but we're going to check a lot of boxes. We're going to make it as easy as possible for you. So there's no charge. We're going to give you a place to stay. So, you know, John, you go to training as well. The financial, you know, responsibility you take on in doing that for yourself, it's no different in law enforcement or the civilian side.
Right.
A good 3-day course is probably going to run you somewhere upwards. I'd say a baseline of probably $600 if it's quality instruction. The lodging is probably going to run you about the same for 3 to 4 days. You've got to have the fuel to get there, which depending on what you're driving, what you're coming in, how far you're coming, you know, you're looking at another $100, $200. You've got to have enough food to sustain that depending on what you want to eat. So, you know, you're probably looking at another $100. I mean, very easily a guy's dropping $1,500, $2,000, you know, to get to a class.
Yeah.
And I know when I was a single dude, that wasn't a problem, right? There was no other responsibilities for that money. So I could throw it around and do whatever I wanted to do. After I had a family, you got kids. I remember sitting in classes, and the thing that was on the very front of my mind while that class was going on, it's like, hey man, I could have took the whole family on a vacation for this.
Yep.
You know, so it's all a unique proposition for everybody that gets involved in it. One of the things I would try to push to the front of my mind in those times is like, well, hey, if I don't get this training, you know, with some of the stuff I'm tasked with performing in my job, I might not ever get to take them on a vacation again. So, you know, there's a fine line and a balance there, but I tell you, I wished back in those days when I was having to run everywhere or host a class to get the quality training, I wish there would have been something like this available to me.
Right.
So yeah, just drawing back from those days, you know, trying to, you know, man, I wished I had have had this opportunity. So let's make it available for other people. And to have a command staff that does that, it still blows my mind. The gym was expanded because I made a joke in class one day. The gym was real small. There was a couple of things in there. I would go into that gym when I was at the sheriff's office and just to kind of maintain, it was better than not doing anything.
Right.
You know, I was like, hey, I can go in here and get me a good 30-minute, you know, workout on. It beats not doing anything till I can get home and have the facility to actually accomplish stuff, to grow some. And I just made the comment in the class. It's like, hey, we've got a gym. You need to be using it. You know, you're not going to get any gains while you're here, but you're not going to lose anything. The deputy chief was there. He heard that. And the next time I was down, it was three times as big. He ordered a bunch of machines in there, a bunch of weights, you know, just completely restocked the place. I worked out every day last week, and it was just like being at home.
Nice.
So to have a command staff like that, they're constantly building stuff. They were putting a the top.
Let me interrupt you there, and I'm sorry to do that, Chase, okay. But we got to go to break.
No.
We're talking with Chase Jenkins from Centrifuge Training. You're listening to Ballistic Radio. Welcome back to Ballistic Radio, brought to you by LuckyGunner.com and Federal Premium Ammunition. They paid for this, so you don't have to. This segment brought to you by BigTexOutdoors.com. BigTexOutdoors.com is the best place for you to find all of your everyday carry needs at the absolute best prices. Maybe you need all the lumens from Surefire at the lowest price? No problem. Spend too much time alone in your room and now you need an RMR on your carry gun? Well, BigTexOutdoors.com has those. Glock accessories? Yes. Fast, cheap shipping, 100% hassle-free returns, all that and more. And best of all, BigTexOutdoors.com has Ike. He's a good man and thorough. I like Ike. Everybody likes Ike, and you'll like Ike, too. Visit BigTexOutdoors.com today and find out what happens when every customer is a friend, not just an order. So we're talking with Chase Jenkins from Centrifuge Training. And you were saying, essentially, that there's a very proactive command staff at the sheriff's office. If there's admin listening to this, I guess, what do you think the pitch is? I mean, it seems to me that investments like this, whether it's a training facility or giving officers time off, it's kind of a long game, right? And I know,
yep.
I know a lot of places, a lot of agencies are worried about, budgets and, lawsuits and optics on things and stuff like that. And it seems to me that if you have officers or deputies or agents or whatever that are trained to an above typical standard, you are much less likely to run into those issues that randomly suck money out of budgets, right?
Yeah, exactly. The more education I can give to my people, the bigger the frame of reference they have, John, the more easily they solve problems. I don't care what problem they're solving and how they're solving it. The more educated the guy is, the easier that becomes for him. The other thing we're doing, it's not all shooting classes there by far.
No.
They're hosting a little bit of everything. So, there's investigative classes, there's crime scene classes, there's all the things that an officer needs to be well-rounded there. So it's not a one-stop shop. Of course, I'm not involved in all of that, all of the aspects of the training there, but there's something going on there almost every week. So it's kind of like a college. It's a place a guy can go get just about everything that he needs. There's other entities that's teaching there. There's, Safari Land's there running classes from, the range to evidence collection. There's interview and interrogation classes. There's a little bit of everything a guy needs to either, start getting his career desires in line, where he wants to end up in his career, to those basic classes that we've got to have the boxes checked for. So I think, it's definitely something that any cop needs on his radar to be looking at and see, what's there that appeals to him and what he needs. So that's the other thing that we wanted to make sure that we did was, have a well-rounded facility and offer more than just one aspect of training.
Well, and I guess kind of the flip side of that, man, and to be very clear before I get into this, I'm not disparaging anyone. I'm not, I'm not trying to be overly critical of anyone. But you and I both, I know for a fact, have met dudes or dudettes that are working the job that don't really take it too serious that there are life and death consequences to the things that they're doing every day.
Sure.
And I guess my question would be, what's the answer for, let's say an agency does all these things, they're proactive. you know, makes stuff available to people, and they're just like, yeah, whatever. I'm off the clock. You know what I mean? It is, well, what do you do there?
No. Oh, man, I don't know. John, I think my experience is, you know, I mean, here comes that example of one, right? But, you know, my experience in this and looking at, you know, the hundreds of people that we have come to class, when you start sticking mandatory on it, I think just the connotation there is, well, man, you know, they're making me do it. I don't want to. Mm-hmm. You got the other aspect of, well, if the department wants me to have it, they'll give it to me. Somewhere in the middle, you've got that guy that's got an understanding of it and knows that he's got to go get, you know, what he wants. Just the difference in personality you're going to have. You're going to have somebody that has an understanding of everybody's mindset on stuff like that. I know that was one of the hard things for me to do as an administrator is understand that not everybody had the same outlook and you know, just mindset on things that I did, and have to take that into account. You know, I that's just one of those unique things there to every department. I know that parts of the nation are better at stuff like this than others. I think just all you can really do is offer it. You're going to have guys that go get it. You're going to have guys that don't. And you'll have guys that float somewhere in the middle. I think as a department, I have to make sure they're getting what's required. I always made sure that they had the opportunities to get more than that. At some point in time, it just becomes a decision that the individual has to make. I just wanted to make sure that I gave them the opportunities. My guys always knew that if they brought me a class that had substance to it, I didn't look at where it was at or how much it cost until I had to present that to the people that opened the purse for us.
Yeah.
And they knew that I would make my best effort to get them there. I think that's really, you know, that's all you can do. It's like anything else that you're trying to get somebody to do or understand. Just giving them the opportunity to go, let them have the chance. If they take you up on that, that's a personal decision. I just always wanted to be able to show where, hey, I gave a guy a chance to get this training. He decided not to, you know, career development, stuff like that. Hey, the guy wants to be a supervisor, but he's got zero, he's got zero experience in education. He's always going to fall behind the guy that showed me he had the desire, the willingness to go above and beyond, and you know, made the effort to get the training necessary to get educated on that. So that's about all you can do. And at some point in time, you know, you had to feel good about that. So this is one of those things, to me, being involved in it, is like, hey, you can come from anywhere in the nation to these courses. They're available to you. Take advantage of them. Don't take advantage of them. Somewhere that's a personal decision that everybody has to be able to live with.
I think you're leaving an important part of that out, and I think I know why you're doing it, because you don't think it's an important part, or maybe you do and just haven't considered it. But so when I met you at a class. I met you at a Pat Rogers Shoot House class in 2013, maybe. Something like that.
Yep. Probably somewhere in there.
Yeah. So at that point, you're pretty high up at the agency you were at, if I recall. And here you are at a four or five day long class. How much do you think, or how important do you think leading from the front is, as far as, you know, setting the example, like, hey, I might be in charge of some stuff, but I'm still out working. I'm still out learning stuff. I'm still out training. And do you think that the culture of an agency, is maybe the most important aspect to that, or an overlooked aspect to that?
Yeah, it is. And we're losing that, daily. And I think, you know, I mean, man, we could devote a whole show to why that probably is.
Let's do this real quick, because we're going to have to go to break in like 30 seconds. So instead of me having to interrupt you like midstream, we'll just do that now. And then when you get back, you can have a minute to collect your thoughts, and then we'll hop right into it. So
okay,
we're talking with Chase Jenkins from Centrifuge Training. You're listening to Ballistic Radio. Welcome back to Ballistic Radio, brought to you by LuckyGunner.com and Federal Premium Ammunition. They paid for this, so you don't have to. And so before the break, Chase, I'm sorry, you were getting ready to answer my question as far as the culture of an agency and how big a factor that is in determining things like that.
Yeah, you mentioned the class I was at. I was trying to think. I believe I was a lieutenant at the time. John, I luckily the people I was around coming up, to me, there's just no other way than leading from the front. Not asking your people to do anything you're not willing to do, understanding what they're faced with, out working with them. Things change. The way we handle things change. Staying abreast of the options that's available to them, listening to them is one thing. And a lot of times with them, it's the small things that make it go. I went to classes. I think one of the last classes I took with Craig Douglas, I was actually a captain. What I noticed when I was attending those classes, a lot of times I would be the only administrative guy present. But it's a big thing with me now. I always pointed out this past week, I actually had a captain, at a large agency. He definitely didn't have to be there, but he wanted to come see what the training was like that his people was going to acquire that week. He wanted to get some of the understanding behind the methodologies that we teach, and to see if it was something that he wanted to take the effort, time to make sure his people could get out to. He was also the administrative, supervisor over their TAC team. So he understands that, hey, I need to be present to see what their needs are, to make sure that they're getting those needs taken care of, to make sure this training is something that I want to, like we talked about earlier, it's hard for an administrator now to find the time to send people. You know, is this something that I want to have to take the time to change my shifts, my schedules around, to make sure that I can get people in? That kind of stuff to me is golden and important. Man, an officer can go to an admin all day long and tell them they need this stuff or they want it, and if the administrator don't understand, you know, the education that they're getting, then to him, it's just a problem.
Right.
So a certain part of administration is just taking care of problems, right? I mean, this is an issue that's made its way up to my desk. So I've got to make a decision and handle it here. And sometimes it's a simplistic, way that we look at things is like, hey, the scheduling is short. We don't have the people or the time to send you to this. You've had ways to work around it before it got up here. Now I've just got to make a decision. And a lot of times to an administrator, the simplest decision, answer is no.
Yeah.
So, man, that was a big thing with me. I'd known the guy for a while though. So it was, I knew his outlook and mindset was different than some, but, that kind of stuff's important. I mean, a lot of times that's the guy that we have to, show him and get him to understand what we're doing and why, so he understands the importance of it and what the issues could be if his people don't have it. And, you know, so they can say, yeah, this is something I've got to get my people in. I've got to make the time to get them there. Low light's one of those things. This was a low light class. I think a lot of times, it's not uncommon for us to be somewhere, which is scary to me. And for a guy to come up and say, hey man, I haven't had any low light stuff since I got out of academy. This was great stuff. And I'm like, oh, so man, you look a little old in the tooth to be getting into the game. So when did you go to the academy? And they're like, no, I went 14 years ago.
Right.
And that's, that's not uncommon.
But they do it every day, Chase. They don't need training.
Yep. Around the clock. Right. And I've heard administrators say, well, man, listen, we, I mean, it's pretty simple, right? If it's dark outside, the guy just turns the light on, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, no, man, there's a lot more behind it than that, right? So I think for him to actually come out and hear, you know, what we're doing, see what we're doing, how it applies, they leave with a full understanding. And it's just like, man, you know, we've heard it before. You've got to expand a guy's frame of reference. You know, we only know what we know. We don't know what we don't know, especially in law enforcement. That Dunning-Kruger, you know, aspect is a real thing, right? I know a little bit about this, so I'm an expert on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think just getting guys to understand that, hey, there's a lot more to this, and we break it down, you know, I think in such a finite manner that the education is something that they've never heard before, and the understanding behind the gravity of what they're tasked with doing. I think we crack that door in a class, especially like the low light class. And then a lot of times you can see, or we have discussions with them after class, after we get home by email. It's like, hey, you showed me that we've got some, you know, a lot of shortcomings in our training. What can we do to fix that? Just things they've never taken into account before, never looked at before, maybe never even been educated in how to address it and handle it.
Mm-hmm.
And it concerns them. It concerns the good ones. And when you can get a captain understanding that kind of stuff, he can actually sit down with the rest of the command staff that hopefully he has the respect of, and he can make arguments that just an officer cannot go to his command staff and make. Now, it's not because they're not educated, because a lot of times they are a lot more educated in certain aspects than their command staff. But, you know, it's a peer thing. If we can get a captain talking to other captains, now we're making some headway.
Mm-hmm. No, and that makes sense, man. We're going to be coming up on the end of the show in a couple minutes. I guess what's like the last thing that you would leave people to think about with all of this?
John, I think the big thing is the argument's been up there for a long time. That, you know, like we talked about at the beginning of the show, the department's responsible for certain things. It's somewhere that responsibility stops with the department and it becomes the individual's task to get what they want, to get what they need. Make the commitment. If you're in a job that requires certain things of you, make the commitment, make the time, plan it out a year in advance if you have to. There's always, if you look hard enough, people that's going to be willing to help you with it. I know Will and I are two of those people. There's several other people out there. People like Sheriff Abernathy, this training facility at the Sheriff's Department, are ways to make it happen.
Right.
Ultimately, it's on you. And I think that attitude is something that we need to cultivate, especially in the law enforcement circles, is, hey, man, quit whining about them not giving it to you. Quit whining about how difficult it is and make it a priority in your life. Get out there, find the people that's going to help you do that and make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it was a lot more rewarding when I would go acquire some of this stuff on my own than it was when somebody would give it to me. It was a better feeling. I got more out of it. So I think that's one of the things that we'll really have to cultivate in this culture is, hey, man, if you want it, if it's worth it to you, get out and get it.
Yeah, that makes sense, man. So if folks want to come train with you, Centrifuge website, best place to sign up and all that?
That's it. If they, my website is still standing. If they go to it, though, anything that they click on will divert them to the Centrifuge site.
All right. Perfect. Man, I appreciate you getting up early and coming in and joining us on the show this morning. Means a lot to me, dude. Always does.
Oh, John, anytime, man. It's always fun talking to you guys. And it got our brain working early on a Sunday morning when we'd probably otherwise just sit around stagnant. Yes.
I wouldn't have been sitting around stagnant. I'd have been asleep. But that's okay. I'll do that when I'm dead. But, hey, be safe, man, all right? I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Hey, make sure you check out our website, www.ballisticradio.com. Like our Facebook page at facebook.com/ballisticradio, or follow me on Instagram at ballisticj. And hey, keep leaving those 5-star review on iTunes. Really helps us out. And recall, do not inadvertently neglect to have your domesticated mammalians rendered sterile. See, that's a Bob Barker, Spader. Never mind. Thanks for listening, everyone. As always, be safe. See you next week.